Rio Grande Oil Company.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. Broadcast 109. Be on the lookout for Jules Rubin, described as white American, age 26 years, 168 pounds. This man is suspected of stealing a valuable diamond brooch from Polly Moran, the moving picture actress. That's all.
Say, who's putting on this program?
Santa Claus.
Who?
Santa Claus, better known as the Rio Grande Oil Company.
How come? What do you mean?
Well, Santa Claus is always giving something to somebody, and it seems to me the Rio Grande Oil Company plays Santa Claus the year round.
For example?
Well, Rio Grande gives the public this Calling All Cars program free.
So what?
And they give away a free publication every month, the Calling All Cars News, to anyone who comes into a Rio Grande station. And they're giving away junior detective outfits free to thousands of boys and girls.
Give me more.
And Rio Grande G-Gas gives the motorist the first guaranteed quality gasoline in the low-price market.
Now, no, I know the rest. Don't tell me. And Rio Grande cracks gasoline gives more power, more speed.
And it gives more economical miles. Don't forget that.
I wasn't going to forget it. I was going to say it. And also that Rio Grande cracked is the only gasoline that gives you police car performance.
Hey, wait a minute. Who's giving this announcement? You or I? Rio Grande gives gasoline the most elaborate and most costly refining process known to create cracked gasoline. Yet, it gives the extra benefits of this extra costly process to the motorist at no extra cost.
And there's one more thing that you've given us, Santa Claus.
Yes, what's that?
A sales talk.
And now it is our pleasure to present Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. The cooperation of law enforcement agencies, be they municipal, county, state, or national, is a vital necessity in our battle against crime. If every group of authorities seeks only to cover themselves with glory and refuse to cooperate with other groups, then the criminal has a distinct advantage at every turn. The brilliant success of the Department of Justice G-Men in their spectacular battle against crime was helped at every turn of their work by the wholehearted cooperation of local authorities all over the country. Individuals in county and city who have faced their own desire for fame and publicity in their desire to see the criminal brought to justice. It is this sort of cooperation that your police department seeks to give. The story you are about to hear is an example of such tactics. Although the men under my command played a vital part in the capture of the Polly Moran jewel thief, still their part was only one of the cogs in the vast law enforcement machine, which, when it functions as smoothly as it did in this case, is tantamount to a federal police force.
Thank you, Chief Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, Calling All Cars is proud to present tonight Miss Polly Moran, who will reenact the exciting predicament in which she found herself when she was robbed en route to Hawaii 2 years ago. Calling All Cars presents the Polly Moran Jewel Robbery. Sunset on the Pacific. And against the plain rim of the western ocean, where nature is burning a day, the majestic silhouette of a luxury liner, the steamship Aloha, Honolulu bound. Tomorrow morning, the lush green islands will greet the gay crowd as they emerge on deck in the sparkling Hawaiian sunlight. But this evening, aboard the Aloha, there is other sparkle. The sparkle of champagne bubbles brimming over crystal glasses. The sparkle of diamonds on the bosoms of lovely women. The sparkle of clever conversation as a dozen world-famous celebrities stand to witness it. It is constantly allowed in mid-Pacific. In one corner of the smoking room, a group of admiring women are gathered around Polly Moran, famed queen star, who is on a belated honeymoon with Martin Malone, her husband of 6 months. The object of conversation is Miss Moran's diamond brooch. They meet
like it in my life before.
Don't forget it, Miss Moran. Come in.
Well, I'll tell you, this little piece of hardware has a history.
Do tell us about it, Miss Moran.
Well, it's this way. When I was starting out on the stage yards and yards ago...
Oh, now, Miss Moran, couldn't have been that long ago.
I don't remember mentioning the number of years.
Oh, Miss Moran, how you do go on?
That's the same off the screen as on, aren't you?
Go on, go on. Do tell us about the growth.
Well, as I was saying, when I started out on the stage, I decided to buy a pair of diamond earrings. It was probably reckless extravagance, but I've always had a passion for diamonds.
Well, who hasn't?
Yes, a few of us were born to indulge
in. How did your diamond earrings become a brooch?
Well, I'm coming to that. One day a jeweler I knew in New York suggested I have the earrings made into a brooch, and then I could add stones to it from time to time. I thought it was a good idea. So we created this design. And every time I've been in a dish, I've added a diamond to the brooch. And every time I've been a flop, I haven't mentioned it.
What a splendid idea.
From the looks of it, you've been in plenty of wit.
Oh,
I'm very modest about that.
It certainly is beautiful.
Moran, I'm actually afraid of losing. Oh, I've mislaid it a dozen times, but it always bobs up again. It's my good luck too. My husband scolds me for being so careless about what jewelry I have.
I should think he would.
There he is, coming into the smoking room now. If you'd pardon me, I'd like to speak to him.
Of course.
Yes, by all means. Marty, lend me a helping hand. Save me.
Why, what's the matter?
Oh, those gals over there, they've been driving me nuts. Asking me some questions about my skin and kicking the dirt about Hollywood Parade.
Well, the price of fame, my dear.
Yes, but I'm on a vacation. I'm not in an autographing mood.
Oh, by the way, don't forget Captain's dinner tonight.
Oh, that's right. I think I'll go down to the cabin and take a little nap. You coming?
No, I don't think so. Not just yet. I'll join you later.
Okay, Marty.
Miss Moran retires to her cabin and lies down for a nap, leaving the door unlocked so her husband can get in without awakening her. Sometime later, she wakens from a deep sleep with the realization that she is not alone in the cabin. Silhouetted against the blue tropical night seen through the open porthole is the figure of a man.
Who's there? What do you want?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got into the wrong stateroom. Yeah, my wife told me not to take that last sidecar.
Well, you'd better listen to her the next time.
Yeah, I'm awfully sorry.
Oh, that's all right, but if you don't mind, I'd like to get back to sleep.
Well, sure. Sorry to have troubled you.
And a little while later, Martin Malone comes down to the stateroom to dress. He awakens Miss Moran, and they speedily make preparations for the captain's dinner. As they are about to leave the room, Miss Moran, putting the last finishing touches to her makeup, turns to her husband.
Marty, hand me my pin, will you?
Yeah, sure. Where is it?
In the upper right-hand drawer of that dressing table.
Okay.
I can't find it, babe. Are you sure you left it here?
I certainly am.
Oh, it certainly isn't here.
What? Let me see. Marty, I remember now. He must have stolen it.
Who must have stolen it?
While I was taking a nap, somebody came in here. I woke up and he sounded drunk and said he'd gotten into the wrong stateroom by mistake.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Oh, what did he look like?
I don't know that either. It was dark in here. Oh, why didn't I turn on the light? Oh, Marty, I bet that man's got my pin.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't get so excited. It isn't lost. Probably you didn't put it in that drawer.
Oh, yes, I did. I remember perfectly. I'll never forgive myself. That pin meant so much to me. It's the sentiment more than the value. Oh, Marty, this is terrible. My trip's ruined.
Miss Moran and her husband immediately report the theft to the ship's officers, who promise their wholehearted cooperation in capturing the thief. In the first officer's cabin, Miss Moran and her husband are questioned.
Now, Miss Moran, do either you or Mr. Malone suspect anyone of picking your pin?
Well, no, I can't imagine who would do it. Certainly nobody you're acquainted with on board.
Say, Polly,
How about that big fat guy from Pittsburgh who's always shooting off his face? I wouldn't put anything past him. I always have felt he was a phony.
Maybe he's a phony, Mark, but I don't think he's a sneak thief.
Well, he doesn't look to me as though he belongs on a cruise like this.
Oh, I don't think he'd stoop that low.
Well, I'll be darned if I know who to suspect. Unless... Say, Polly, you remember that bird who tried to crash all our parties?
Oh, yes. You mean Mr. Reuben, the one who gets so rough in the deck sport.
Yeah, that's the bird. What did you say his name is?
Reuben's the only name I know him by.
Let me look at the passenger list.